Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it is Thursday, so that must mean that it's time for me to hang out with all of the tech people, all of you beautiful tech people. Mm-hmm. It is so great to get to be here with all of you. I know I say it all the time that I really look forward to Thursdays and Fridays. It's true. I do. It's just a treat to get to spend time with all of you every week. So thank you. All right. Well, with that, well, first up, Tom, I hope you get power back soon. For those of you that don't know, Tom, like Ben and like me, we live in the United States, which in many ways is like a third world country because we have an incredibly unstable power grid. And especially in some places, you know, like Texas, California. And
because it's like 140 years old.
Right. Yeah. Oh, good times. Anyhow, so Tom is without power right now because that's basically half of California. And hopefully he'll have power back soon, but he's been without it for at least 24 hours and might have another 24 hours ahead of him. That's really messed up. So anyhow.
It's supposed to be an advanced nation in the U.S. You know, like keeping power on and things like that.
The best nation in the U.S.?
Mm, it's supposed to be sort of like efficient.
You sound like you're running for Congress. yeah. Anyhow, I'm surprised I haven't seen lots of t-shirts that say America's the best country in the U.S.
oh, they exist. I'm sure those exist.
And anyhow, speaking of U.S., Ben, how are you?
Right. How are you good, Jeff?
I'm glad you're dressed appropriately for the holiday.
Yes, I'm going to get behind our America's most sacred tradition, using parts of our European heritage as an excuse to go get hammered.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. God bless America. We are, after all, a melting pot, and you can see the pot right behind Ben. The trick is to keep the temperature just right so that when you're melting the people, they don't scorch. Uh-huh. Because you don't want the people's slurry to get lumpy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for those of you that are listening and not watching, happy St. Patrick's Day. And Ben is appropriately garbed for the event, complete with a shirt that has a four-leaf clover on the front and his rainbow going right into his pot of gold. And that could be a euphemism, since you're not watching but listening, you can create that image in your head. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's like I'm a little sad because I was supposed to go on a St. Patrick's Day walk in Vienna tomorrow, but the guide broke his ankle. So
oh no.
Yeah. So he said, "See you in 2024." Yeah. Well, he has more walks this year, but not the St. Patrick's Day. So yeah, I'm good otherwise. Ben.
I'll just tell him to get some ankle wrap and suck it up.
I'll do that next time I see him. It's a really funny guy from the UK originally. So he's awesome. So if Eugene, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm doing good.
Instead of suck it up, use these terms, Patrice. Stiff upper lip.
Okay, we'll do.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's British for suck it up.
It is. It is a completely British for suck it up.
I'll let him know. Yeah, no, I'm good. It's been a good week. It's been a crazy week as always. The weather is really nice here. It's still cold, but I've heard like from other places where it's either raining or snowing, and we have like beautiful spring weather. So, yeah,
nice.
My little seedlings for my balcony are already growing. So I planted some tomatoes and some zucchini.
Nice.
And what else is new? And I bought a lot of like cool stuff. First and foremost, all of this. It's all hair ties.
And
I'm playing with them. But they're really nice. They're really colorful. And I have had them on my desk and I'm all day, like, you know, I'm a little ADHD. So I'm constantly playing with something, like keeping my fingers busy. So hair ties are good for that. Wait. Oh. Yeah, no, they're really cool. Like, I really like them. I have one of those.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I'm good.
Awesome. Rich, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. It's good to be back again.
It's great to see you.
I don't have any funny stories about anything this week. I've had a really dull week and done nothing, so I'm just here. This is the highlight of my week.
Yeah, but you have a really nice and colorful t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, before the show, I hopped over to Qwerty to see if I could get it. Is there not a search function on the Qwerty website?
Yeah, it's a very, very basic website, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a big wall of pictures. It's Qwerty.
So I guess
but it is the best. It's the best t-shirt shop. It's the best t-shirt shop ever. They just keep. I love the fact that they have the thing where you can vote on the designs. I always try to remember to have a look and vote on the designs because there's so many great ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are. Yeah.
Yeah. I also like that they partner with artists, so artists can like pitch their things.
And yeah,
they like they get a cut. So it's not like
yeah
that the company gets everything. Like they can basically sell their t-shirt designs, and that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. They also do that really clever thing of skirting around copyright claims by only making something very quickly once.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They make a short run of something and then it's not made anymore, yeah. So therefore they can't be hammered for.
They can sell that quicker than Nintendo's lawyers can send them a piece of paper. So
which is fast.
Yeah.
No lawyer, like the team of lawyers is so big at Nintendo that it takes them weeks to do anything. So. You know, bigger teams.
They're too busy suing YouTubers for playing Nintendo games where people can see.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing you want is to have people seeing other people play the video game properties that you've produced.
They hate that. And if you could hear it as well, they hate that as well. Anything. I've had copyright claims on Nintendo sounds from games. Not even the game. Yeah.
It's
like as if I'd played like a song or something like that. They've toned it down a bit in recent years, apparently, but I don't do anything Nintendo-y.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wonder how many people have gotten takedown notices for having the Mario jump sound in their videos.
Many.
Oh,
many. Because that and the coin noise, they just get copyright claimed immediately.
Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
I'm not so sure about that. Wouldn't that, because it's so short, like fall under fair use? And at least in the US.
Length of something relating to copyright is an urban myth.
Oh, okay. Yes, that is
it
true.
It has okay. Absolutely. Like, oh, if this was always one you had to argue with people, but we're not doing it for profit. I should be allowed to use it. Like, that's a great argument you're making. I think there's a lot more people you need to convince of that. But, you know, I see why you would think that. And also, well, if I use less than 6 seconds, then it's fine. Like, who is making this shit up? It's
I thought that was under fair use.
No, there's no fair use is a fairly much more limited. That is another thing that people do. Oh, fair use. Like, what? Right. Okay. No, because that is defined, and I don't think it means what you think it means.
Right. Yeah, bless your heart.
You know, it's one of the. Are you reviewing it? Are you reviewing the thing? No? And then are you done? That's it. That's your fair use. Are you the news?
Review.
Yeah, that's it. And no, done.
Mm.
Otherwise, DJs would just use 5 seconds of everything and get away with never true. Paying for it yeah. ever.
That is true.
Yep. Well, the man who does get away with everything, Ian, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I don't think I quite get away with everything. Some things, but not everything.
Now, yeah. You see, someone that not gets away with everything your wife. Would say that very
no, get rid of nothing. Nothing. But I've had a good week. This week's been fun. I've been helping create a new certification program. So we've been working with a testing company, building questions and building knowledge and building the knowledge to go into the test to do the new release of this exam. And that's been really interesting. I've no idea of what went into it. And so that's been a really interesting week. That and on the other side of things, I've been fighting with Oracle. So purely for the cake of Crainer Lab and banging my head against death, there should be a red mark here where I've been bashing my head.
Thought you were combing your hair differently, but yeah, that makes sense.
No, that's just where I've been bashing my head against the desk every time it's not done what it's told me it's going to do. Tomorrow is another day, another attack at it before I have the meeting in the afternoon with the testing people. So yeah.
Another day, another opportunity to dent the desk with your forehead.
Pretty much. My colleague is working on a similar thing, and he says, I need a punch bag. I had to go and beat 7 shades out of something because something he's working on is not working. Just one of those
good times. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, as long as we're all here, let's talk some tech news. Who has the first story?
Go on, I'll throw this one in because this is kind of interesting. It's kind of an expansion of, I think we probably discussed this before in terms of the US.
Yep.
But now both the UK and the EU have both followed suit. And we've banned the use on governmental devices now. They can no longer have TikTok. Why they've got it anyway, I do not know. Because it's a mobile phone for work, says Ian with his best.
Yeah.
And what the hell would you have TikTok, except if you're monitoring it for the purposes of a marketing team doing something where you want to try and reach a different audience? Fair enough. So it's, but my curiosities are TikTok by doing what everyone claims they're doing, or is this tinfoil hat bollocks?
What does everybody claim they're doing? Because all I hear is security concerns, which is bullshit.
Security concerns are because you use TikTok, you can geolocate yourself.
Right.
You can, and there's all other kind of information that can be got. So if it's a governmental phone and it could be in a secret place, and then you do a quick dig, look, I'm in a secret place. You can see
you're not
already.
You're not supposed to take your phone there anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You can see the floor here already, Then it might send off to some place and it will be all dangerous and everything and all bad and all sorts of things. I honestly don't know. And so I'm throwing this one out as just an interesting thing to discuss. Are they giving it to the Chinese?
Something else going on here because are they seriously worried that someone at TikTok is going to come and smash in Grant Shapps one afternoon? That's not what they're worried about.
What they're worried about is swathes of data being leaked to the Chinese government. That's essentially the same reason the US, the same reason the EU, and now the UK have all gone through the ban. This is the reasoning for it.
There is kind of multiple levels to that. So the biggest or the most obvious one is what Ian said. Basically, if the Chinese government could access the data, it would learn quite a bit about a lot of people in the world, like probably a couple billions. And while that information originally might not be super helpful, it gives them information that they could eventually use. I mean, the same thing for, honestly, Google, like it's kind of similar to why we talk about privacy and Google and Google knowing too much about us.
Yeah,
same reason.
Exactly. It's the
same stuff. But that's only the obvious part. There have been situations in the past where, for example, soldiers using TikTok, no, not TikTok, Fitbit. You could basically track them and figure out where they were and what they were doing and how they were exercising, get patterns where they were moving and so on. And that is, I would say, more interesting information. Like, if you can figure out who works for a government, who works on a military base, who works in like some secret government facility, some whatever,
and wherever, like
CIA site somewhere that nobody should know about.
And the fact it's the triangulation they can do around that place. Not exactly, because you might well say, well, I checked my phone before I go into this location, so it's not going to track anyway.
Yeah, but they still know, okay, who's going
in. If
in
the coffee shop down the road, I was checking my TikToks before I came in, or I posted a quick video of something before I came in, you've got a data point.
Or who is going in and out and stuff like that. And that's where it gets a little bit more interesting. I mean, let alone the security part where, I mean, you know, app reviews and so on are not perfect. Operating systems are not perfect. There is always a possibility that a government could smuggle something into an app like that and install it on those people's phones that you're interested in. I mean, that is probably the most far-fetched thing, but it's not impossible. I can understand. I mean, some of it is probably politics and hysteria and all of that, and the anti-tech thing that's anyway going around. But I can understand 100% why Western governments are looking into it. Same thing with Kaspersky and like antivirus software from Russia, where it's like, yeah, they might not be doing anything, but we should have a closer look at that because there is even a remote possibility that they could be doing something that's probably for most people, not a problem. For some people, it might be. And that we have to keep
it. Here's the other thing, though. TikTok isn't the only tech product where the Chinese government might be able to look at some of the data. It is the most prominent, well-known one that you could do this to and be seen to be doing something perhaps, but it is far from the only one. And they are fucking scratch on the surface compared to companies like Tencent, who own Epic Games, who own all of the game engines that are in all of the software, which nobody is remotely interested in banning because
they should.
Oh, then that'll make us all look like dicks if we do that. We just need to be seen to be doing something that makes, and we'll say security concerns, and we'll go after we say security concerns.
And
everyone will go, oh, security concerns. The Chinese government want to know what I had for my dinner. And then that'll be it. And it will go away.
I mean, the other company that.
Actually do anything.
I mean, the other company that get a lot of a flack in the same direction is Huawei.
And Huawei.
I mean, Huawei in phones in the UK is the accessible side that general public sees. Huawei, a huge electronics conglomerate, they make many things that are not, including some really good servers and some really good data storage devices that I have seen in use in hospitals and government buildings across the UK. And those are slowly being removed because of the same fears. A vendor I used to work with in the US, they built one of their platforms around a Huawei enclosure as part of the build. Mm-hmm. And that then got immediately, once there was things, it became hardware non grata almost, and they removed it from the SKUs available now. And there was they replaced it with a Fujitsu device. But,
And I'm going to tell you why that is a concern. Because we've done it. We have compromised hardware that was shipped into China, into Russia, just like Russia and China have done it on our side. We know exactly how to do it. That's why it's a concern. It's not that it's some, I mean, Rich, as you said, it is a political thing. There is a lot more companies that we should look into. And I'm pretty sure that TikTok is not the only app that is banned on government phones. There's probably a lot more.
There'll be a whole list of things you're not meant to have.
Yeah, this is just what we know publicly. There's probably more. I mean, heck, in our company, we can't install WhatsApp on our company phones for privacy reasons.
Yeah, in my old place, I couldn't have WhatsApp.
I'm not sure I get that, but okay, and we're not the government. So,
yeah. And the other interesting one in the same article was also linked to another one where ByteDance have been asked by the US government to divest themselves of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah. They're going to ban it. You know,
has been discussed for
years. That's a thing that's been just kind of simmering in the background for quite a while here.
Yeah, because they own about 60%. They own about 60% of it. They own apparently. Does ByteDance?
So it's not going to get divested.
That's a political thing,
and it's not going to
even
get
if it banned. Does. Even if it does, even if it gets banned, it makes no difference.
I want them to do it so much. Do you know what that is going to do to my viewership if suddenly America is missing from TikTok? Oh my God. Oh, that's just that. Oh, I want them to do it so much. I cannot begin to tell you. Oh, because no one wants to listen to Canadians talk. They'll be straight to us. It'll be great.
Yeah, true. Yeah. The whole TikTok ban thing, the big disappointment for me with this is that now I can't watch members of parliament twerk.
Why would you? What?
That's a thing that parliament does, right?
No.
They do lots of twerking.
No.
Oh, then
mostly they just throw illegal parties.
They just cry about
where
stuff.
They twerk.
They just cry. It's like in this article you've linked to for this, and they interview people. It's like Grant Shapps of the Conservatives said, "Wow, I want TikTok on my phone." And then what is it? And Angela Rayner of the Labour Party said, "Wow, I said to get rid of this off my phone, and they've let me have it on for weeks, and they should stop that awful." Yeah. And the British public rolled their eyes and went back to fucking sleep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good times.
Yeah.
All right. So, TikTok, no more twerking for the government.
No.
Ben, tell us about your story.
Well, we're going to go from government twerking to companies twerking people.
Google
around.
Owners twerking?
Yes. Yeah. In the U.S., YouTube offers this cable replacement service called YouTube TV. It started off at $50 a month.
No, it was way cheaper than that. I had it. It was like 20 or 25 or something.
Yeah.
Originally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
35, it says in your article.
Mm.
Yeah, it was originally 35%.
Okay.
Or 35 bucks. Mm-hmm. Well, after the latest round of price increases, it now starts at $73 a month.
So why would you want this instead of just a regular cable package at that price point?
That's a good question. And the other question is, now that pretty much everybody has their own streaming service, including the over-the-air networks, why would anybody want this at all? I mean, we're at an age where literally the regional sports networks are failing this month. So come April, why would anybody want one of these or cable? And if they are under 65.
I mean, like back a couple of years ago when I moved to the US, I got YouTube TV, and the reason for it was very simple. I didn't want the cable package because that was pointless, but I wanted access to basically to the apps of like CBS and so on back then. And that was the cheapest and easiest and most convenient way to do it. I never ever used the YouTube app. It sucked, to be honest. It half of the time didn't work. They had a dedicated YouTube TV app, and forget that. But I eventually canceled it. I mean, when I moved away, but also because they just kept increasing prices for like not offering anything extra. They were just like, oh, by the way, now we're charging 30%. Like the 30% that we would supposedly pay Apple, we're now charging you on top of it because you're subscribing through Apple. Oh, by the way, now we're increasing another $5 a month. You don't get anything for free. It's just $5 more. Yeah, and they just kept going that way, and it's become it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know why. Just let it die.
That sounds like Sky in the UK, doesn't it? I mean, they said we seem to find a new way to charge you more.
Is this very? I imagine YouTube TV to be very much like what the Skybox I got that I talked about last week, right?
Yeah, kind of.
It's right.
Yeah, yeah. On the other hand, now you can watch 4 streams at once.
Yes. Four streams to nothing since there's no sports on it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, this is actually more expensive than Sky then.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is in the United States.
It's more expensive than most things.
Yeah, it's more expensive than Sky, which takes some doing.
That really does.
Yeah.
But it might be more expensive than anything else in the US by now.
Yeah. I mean, to be perfect.
Go ahead, Ben.
To be perfectly honest, services like YouTube TV or Fubo or the other ones that are escaping my mind right now.
Was it Sling TV?
Yeah, Sling TV, Direct TV, Stream, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
These were all, in my mind, always a bridge service between cable and the streaming future. Well, we're pretty much at the streaming future now. This has gotten way too expensive. And it's about time to let it die.
So do you think YouTube is increasing the prices to basically get rid of customers? Or like the customers who are left, they're like, okay, well, if they want to pay that much, fine, we'll just keep it going.
I think a lot of it is content providers upping their prices for a combination of greed and less subscribers.
Mm. Okay.
Do you know what, though? I'm not so sure about that streaming app future anymore. There was a time when, of course, it felt like everything was going to be streaming apps. But since going back the other way and since talking to other people about going back the other way, I'm starting to pick up on a lot more people being pissed off with the difference between apps and TV is that with TV, it's just there. And whatever is on, it's like, here's a selection of stuff. Some of it you like, some of it you'll just skip past. And if there's anything you want to watch, you can press this button. It'll start from the beginning of that show. And it's all there. And the Skybox shows me, like, it's popping up popular things from across the board. Whereas when I was on the Fire TV stick and go in and out of that, it was this tiring process of, well, let's go into Netflix and see if there's anything, right? Come out, let's go into Prime and see if there's anything I want. And then you're like, but I haven't gone out and looked through Disney Plus to see if there's anything I want. And then that's an hour later, and I've looked through 17 different streaming services and I'm bored now. And then it's all adding up to the same money, if not more, as the Sky was. You know, so I just don't see the streaming app future anymore. I feel like it's just gotten bloated and there's too much and everything's, you know, there's so many things. You see an advert for a show and you're like, cool, what do I have to subscribe to see that fucking thing now? And it's always, and get this on this new thing plus. Like, fuck off. I don't care anymore. I don't, Helen Mirren and Harrison Ford, great. What a sound. I don't care then. Whatever. Fine. They were just making so much pointless content no one's going to see, because we now, what's Lionsgate Plus, are they doing well? Is Paramount Plus doing well? Peacock had a month where they didn't add a single subscriber. They had to announce not one. This is how long do we think this is going on for, that people are just going to be like, oh, it's something plus, just another $6.99 a month again to watch this one show on it you might like this month.
Predictable. I mean, first it was a novelty. Then everything got unbundled. Every service started their own streaming service, and everything went to streaming. And we know that's not gonna last because it's too expensive for them to run it. It's too expensive for people to subscribe to everything. It's too fragmented. So eventually it's gonna collapse. It's gonna collapse into a couple services. And we're already seeing that to some extent. I mean, Disney Plus has vacuumed up quite a few franchises. I would say Paramount Plus, as awful as the app is, They've bundled in quite a few things. And I think HBO is probably, and I mean, sure, there's like the big Netflix. But also HBO has kind of, I think, aren't they even merging in Hulu and so on? I think they are.
No, Hulu is part of Disney. Disney currently this has Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. I wouldn't be very surprised within the next year or so. It's just Disney Plus. Disney Plus of Hulu, or Disney Plus of FX, Disney Plus of Hulu, Disney Plus of ESPN.
Yeah, something.
Do you see why people are getting nostalgic for the days where it was, I just used to subscribe to Sky and not give a shit anymore. I just had this thing, and that was all. I just didn't have to care then. And now it's, well, this thing's going on to this thing. It's this app now, and half of the Prime content's on this new thing they call Freevee. That has ads, though. And then there's the Disney Plus, which is merging with the thing, and it's I have one remote, and I press it, and the TV comes on, and something plays.
How
and
old are
sometimes
you,
it's something I want, and
he sounds older than me. To be honest, he's sounding like a 60-year-old man. He's sounding older than me here.
As I said,
it's gonna collapse into a couple, into a handful of services. It's not gonna be one, but I'm like three or four at most, because it's just too much, and we knew that. I mean, that was predictable. I think Horace Dedeu said something 10 years ago probably about this.
Probably.
Yeah.
That
was predictable.
We've got the major Amazon and Prime, but there's been nothing that drawled us. And I think we've got Disney Plus because there's an offer on now. My wife said, well, we're going to get that one. But really, there's little more that I wouldn't pay money for YouTube. I did look at the YouTube thing to see what we got. I realized, no, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Here, it's not worth it. There isn't any benefit in it, really. And beyond that, I mean, my TV's got a load of the apps baked into it. I know what channels things come on, the major UK channels. I get one of my picks is from one of those. You know, I just go off and watch it on the app. And the only other thing we paid for a subscription for was to one of our channels. Will do a, I think if you pay them, I think it's £3, £4, do you get no ads? Channel 4 do that. And so that was just, yes, you can have my £4. I will willingly pay that so I can watch a show from one end to the other and not have to suffer ads.
Yeah, I do that too.
So I'm into this.
I got frustrated with a lot of streaming services and cancelled most of them.
Yeah, we've boiled ours down to the ones that have got things on that we'd watch enough things on. I mean, to be fair, Amazon only comes because of the fact we have Prime anyway.
Yeah.
And we use that for every other thing that goes on. And if it's on Prime, goody, goody gumdrops. You know, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm beyond there. Yeah. And we've got Netflix for the kids. You know.
Is that the way this is going to go? Because we always used to say with the music that over long enough time, the music streaming is going to fall to the companies that do other things. It's going to be Apple. And we said Google at the time, although I don't get me started. Because, you know, Apple have got the thing. They're selling phones. Their money comes from phones. If you get an Apple Music subscription, great, but their business doesn't hinge on that. Whereas Spotify, it very much does. And Spotify are actually coping with that quite well, but over time, if Apple really wanted to, they could go, well, it's $4.99 a month now. What you got, Spotify? Good luck. We don't care. We're selling iPhones. You're done. Mm-hmm. They could do that. And they just haven't chosen to yet. They probably just like having the appearance of competition. But with with the streaming video services, there are some that we get because we don't really want them, right? I'm not getting rid of Amazon Prime.
I wouldn't pay for it. I want free delivery. That it's worth it for me for free delivery. Beyond that, I'll get telly as well, and I get some free Kindle books. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I'm very happy for that. Yeah, fantastic.
And so that I feel like it might, you know, and even maybe even like Apple TV Plus, if they were interested in that. Again, Apple, there's a big table with money on it, and I don't know what to tell you. But it feels like maybe over time we'll lose a lot of these, and we'll have the companies that do other things, maybe even Google if they could get their act together.
I mean, Spotify came up with TV, that would be an interesting one. If the other way went and Spotify decided we might as well jump into the streaming market and get some. I can't see they would do that.
Why not?
Spotify is going to get acquired at some point.
I'm surprised they're still going. I don't believe they're making much money from podcasting and adding that into there.
They reported that even. They've lost a crap ton of money on podcasting.
One
of the reasons why they're moving away from exclusive stuff again. They moved things into Spotify and made it exclusive and then realized it doesn't work and now they're moving it out so at least they can get some ad money.
Is anyone making money out of, and I mean like really making money out of podcasts? I'm willing to bet the majority of networks people
who are.
Yeah, NPR. They definitely make money on podcasts.
I think Relay FM is also making money. They're not massive, but they're
when we say making money, I mean like not covering your costs and a bit of profit. I mean like an amount of money that makes people go, hey, we should get into podcasting. No one's thinking that, are they?
Studio Gimli?
No, Gimlet Media was acquired by Spotify. They were acquired by Spotify.
That's right. They were making money, got acquired by Spotify and then not making money.
But Rich, I'm pretty sure there's a couple of production companies in like the LA area probably because there's so many podcasts around TV shows and movies and so on now that they're probably making a lot of money.
But it's mostly making
money from the studio.
Yeah, isn't that like a support thing for the TV show? You know, not going to be making money in and of its own right, surely.
Probably not.
That's the money go round. They've been funded by the TV show that keeps the people interested in the TV show. Give them a little bit more of a hit.
They'll come out of the marketing
next episode
budget.
Comes out.
Yeah, their marketing budget.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
No, but there's definitely some really big podcasts and big podcast networks that are. I mean, they wouldn't survive if they weren't making money.
I'm sure the BBC will be with all of that stuff as well. Equally like NPR do. It's the same thing. I'm sure they're making a goodly amount.
Well,
it's advertising.
How would they? Because BBC aren't advertising on podcasts, are they?
No,
we're paying for those.
That's true. The license fee pays.
They're publicly funded podcasts.
Yeah,
but NPR doesn't because they're not publicly funded.
Well,
they do advertise.
Don't they have ads? Yeah,
they do have ads. Yeah.
Yep.
BBC don't have ads. They barely have presenters.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Hey, speaking of making money, Patrice, tell us about your story.
Yeah. I want to show of hands who here knew that Ryan Reynolds, yes, the actor, actually owns a big chunk of a mobile company. Yep. I did not.
Did you know he also has his own vodka?
Aviator
gin.
He has his own gin.
He actually sold that to someone.
And the thing I know about, he has a football team as well in the UK. Some small time football team. I didn't know about T-Mobile. I didn't know if he's been that involved in T-Mobile.
Well, he wasn't until now. So he bought in, what was it, 2019, I think, a couple of years ago, he bought a good chunk of Mint Mobile, which you might have heard on podcast about because quite a few podcasts have advertisement from Mint Mobile. And I know that I also know like Adam Christensen, for example, is a big fan of Mint Mobile, actually.
Yeah, I'm a Mint Mobile user.
Yeah, so T-Mobile just acquired them or wants to acquire them for $1.35 billion with a B. So, as part of that deal, he will stay on in a market. He's Mint Mobile's chief, chief creative officer, I think even. Mm. And he's going to stay on. So he is not just a really good actor and good looking. He is also a very, very savvy businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart. There's no two ways about it. He's smart in terms of making sure that when his face stops earning him his fortune, he'll still have a living.
Mm-hmm.
He is smart. He's definitely.
Yeah, which, I mean, given Hollywood and everything, if you're male, there's a bigger chance you're going to like go through life and have, like, until you die, basically, jobs. But it's not a guarantee. Banking on names now,
For every Harrison Ford that's out there.
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
There's a lot of actors that don't have a lifelong career like that.
Yeah, if they're 10, 20, 25 years at most in the spotlight, and then they disappear.
So what fair, you're saying, he
sometimes made tens of millions of dollars and quite frankly can't be asked anymore.
Some of them, yes. But
when you do a 28 episode season run for $500,000 an episode, what are you doing next year? You're done. You're going on holiday. I can't be bothered. You want to sit in traffic knowing you've got that much money in the bank.
Yeah, but that's not how the business works. You want to keep going and so on. No, but there's, I mean, there is some quite well-known actors who are really concerned about, okay, like sure, it's good right now, but is it going to dry up next year? I mean, not the Harrison Fords probably, because, I mean, he's on a level where, like, okay, like, probably doesn't matter anymore. But I mean, like Bryan Cranston, for example, was like, yeah, I'm constantly working on new things because I don't know how long this is going to last. Eventually nobody will want me. And then what?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the reason why you see Rob De Niro in so many crap films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was just like, money. Sure.
Robert De Niro is one day.
Robert De Niro is it will just say, oh, we got a role for you, Bob. You want to come and do this? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, lovely. I'll come on board. Yeah, that does. He seems to be, I think he's always terrified that the next job's not going to turn up. Yeah, now, even with all his success, he'll take any job going. That's how comes he end up in the Fockers and things like that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, Robert De Niro needs to stop doing that 10 films ago. It's already too late. But Ryan Reynolds is worth $350 million, right? And he doesn't work every day. You just do stuff, don't you? You're like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to buy a vodka company today. You want to buy a football team? Yeah, fuck it. I've got 350. I've got basically infinite.
But the thing is,
he owns some Bitcoin. He owns cars. He's got $350 million.
He's diversified.
He's diversified, but that also means you have to manage all of that. You are technically, to whatever percentage he owns, responsible for those companies.
It means that you employ somebody who is responsible for all of that.
I mean, as someone who employs people who are responsible for these things, I can tell you, you're still responsible for them, even if someone else does it. I said he is really smart and he is clearly diversifying and clearly looking for other things once the movie thing dries up. But I mean, a lot of actors go into directing or in producing and so on because for the same reason, because they know this is not going to last. Mm-hmm. Public perception is unfortunately fickle, and at some point people don't care about you anymore. Especially when you're not a great actor to begin with. But I mean, that's not in his case, but
he could say the wrong thing on Twitter and it's done. Mm-hmm.
And John Travolta learned to fly because he was worried that this acting gig wouldn't work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he had shit tons of money and thought, hey, I like planes and I'm unspeakably rich. Why don't I build an airport at my house?
Yeah, now he is. I mean,
none
now
of
he's
this is
level.
Because they're interesting. They're just so fucking inconceivably rich. That's it. They just have so much money. They literally do not know what to do with it.
He learned to fly back in the days when he just done a few of his early films where he still wasn't. He wasn't rolling in dollars in the same way.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example of a guy, Bruce Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, the lead singer of Iron Maiden, heavy metal band. He learned to fly and got a job as a commercial airline pilot because he was worried Iron Maiden wouldn't eventually provide for him and his family. Turns out it did very well for them. But a lot of them do decide that they're going to do something else. In the UK, some of the footballers have got investing in property and things like that because they realise my legs aren't going to keep me in a living for the rest of my life, you know.
They realise I make £300,000 a week. What am I going to do with this money? It's just unspeakably rich.
Okay, Patrice's turn.
Yeah, like for actors, and I've heard that on a couple of podcasts, like from Zach Braff, for example, and Donald Faison. Even though they're somewhat successful and they make good money and so on and have had big successes, that starting point, like for actors, I think especially like the where you don't like where you're working three jobs and you don't know where your next paycheck is going to come from and you don't know if the if the if you get a role and if it's any good and like if you're gonna be successful, that never leaves you. No matter how successful that start that you got, where you had to like where everybody was telling you you're not gonna make it and like you're gonna be gone and it's not gonna last and all of that, that never goes away. No matter how successful you are, and I think you see that. Like you see that in a lot of actors, and that's why they do things, and that's also why they sometimes take on roles that they probably shouldn't, because they're not sure.
But wouldn't anybody? I mean, is Ryan Reynolds in some way cleverer than me because he bought a wireless company?
No.
Or could he buy a wireless company because he has $350 million than I do? They're just normal people doing what anyone would do if they had a shit ton of money. They're doing what I would do if I had a shit ton of money. diversify and invest. It's just a normal thing that they're doing.
But most of them would just lose it.
Well, a lot of them do, and that's why they keep working, and some of them don't keep working and end up dead or homeless.
They do invest bad and lose their shirt on something they think is going to be this brilliant thing.
It's nothing to do with the fact that he is an actor or Ryan Reynolds or
he's
just
a good business person.
He's a good businessman. Yeah, he's
he bought one.
He can
thing.
See a good deal and bought thing. Yeah.
No, he bought a lot of things. He sold the vodka company. I think he sold for what was it, 600 something million. I think he's bought and sold quite a few things and made some really good deals. So and he runs his own marketing company. Who does I think even for T-Mobile did marketing campaigns and so on. So like he is doing shit.
I don't doubt that. It's because he's like alive and working.
We're all doing enough shit. To get the money to do that.
It's just only people pay attention to him because it involves hundreds. I'm doing shit every day.
For sure.
No one cares. Because I don't look like Ryan Reynolds.
No, that's not true. We can.
And I don't have millions of dollars. He just gets articles written about him because he does what the rest of us are doing, but bigger because he's good looking. That's it. He's not special. He's just a dude.
Speaking of good looking,
anyway,
Rich, have we done your story yet?
No, we haven't. It's kind of I've been working on a title because it's kind of three mini stories, and it's I was going to call it From the Mind of Mark Zuckerberg, but instead I'm going to call it Oops, Never Mind, Try Again. So we'll start with the oops, which is here we go. They are backtracking massively on and killing off NFT support at Facebook and Instagram, because of course Mark Zuckerberg thought that would be a fantastic idea to have NFTs integrated into Instagram and Facebook, and kind of shocked. Mark was wrong about that one. Mark was wrong. Oh. Apparently, no one gave a crap about NFTs after about 20 minutes, and continue to. Not do that. So Mark screwed the pooch on that one, and they're getting rid of that. But of course, all of that, you know, you don't just set up an NFT initiative at your company for free. And when you make an omelet, you have to break some eggs. So unfortunately, Meta's now laying off an additional 10,000 workers. There's your never mind, because Mark can screw up. And you know what? Doesn't matter. There's 10,000 underlings that can fuck off home. And we'll cover the cost for Mark's screw-ups on that. Because Mark's a fucking genius, isn't he, right? And so then Mark's got to go back to the drawing board. He's had another shit idea, and he's fired some fucking plebs because he can. And that's his cost covered. And he's got to come up with something genius again. I mean, he is the unrivaled genius that is Mark Zuckerberg. And so what has he come up with? He's come up with Mastodon, a decentralized Twitter competitor. Fucking genius, Mark Zuckerberg. You genius man. Oh my God. Who could have come up with that? That's God's what Facebook liar. Needs to become. Twitter. God. You know, if Mark Zuckerberg and Ryan Reynolds got together,
they could do some fucking incredible things. Would be really good.
I know, right? And Mark would be there too. And it was just, this man is in charge of a multi-billion dollar company and demonstrates nothing but being not very bright. And I like to use Mark Zuckerberg when I hear from people who are feeling low and they're down, perhaps really in the depths of despair. And they're saying, I don't deserve love. I don't deserve success. And I say no, because Mark Zuckerberg has success. And if that deserves success, then so does fucking everything. So you go for it, because Mark Zuckerberg's a billionaire. And in 2023, he thinks that Facebook should become Twitter.
Yeah. You know the thing about Zuck? The person he thanks the most right now is Elon Musk, because he got out of the limelight for being the billionaire who is the biggest moron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Zuck should send Musk a fruit basket.
Yeah. Well, Musk is a fruit basket.
So send himself.
Do you know what I can't get over, though? As much as I would love to make fun of Elon Musk, there's a fucking edit button on Twitter now, and that's all there is to it. It's like, that took 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you pay for it.
Why didn't Twitter? Why did it take years and years with, oh, edit buttons are hard, and then some dude turns up and it's like, put it on there now, and they do it, and it takes 2 weeks. I can't, that's one thing.
And then it breaks pass. After 5 seconds.
Right.
No, that's the thing you say, but it's not true. It's not a real thing. It's just like a let's slag off Twitter thing, but it hasn't broken. The button works. Like,
no, there were some points where it broke, literally.
Well, there's always some points when things break, it works now. Like, is it, we should abandon it because it broke once? What do we do? Everything, my Mac crashed once. Shall I don't know.
Yeah, you should abandon it. Windows crashed once.
It broke once. It didn't work once. It's garbage. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Get off my lawn.
I'm buying it. Yeah. I'm buying it. It didn't work once.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay, so part of the problem I see here is that Zuck is still the same person, or at least appears to be the same person he was when he created a service to try and get dates for himself. And he called it the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the company has grown and evolved, and he has not.
Nope.
That's a good observation.
You know, it's even weird. It says in this article that he's about to take paternity leave for his third child. I still don't believe he's not a virgin. That's the thing.
When you have that,
like,
much
no,
money...
he's not. They're not his fucking kids. He's of no one. No one has shagged Mark Zuckerberg. Shut up. Just shut up. No woman was hanging out at a party, and she looked across the room, and there was Mark Zuckerberg, and she thought, "Oh fucking hell, I need that man.
No,
I need that I'm guy."
Not, I don't no agree one. With that.
It did one, not happen.
There are people who will find the amount of money he has very attractive and will overlook the
other
parts.
Yeah, yeah. I think the one thing you're missing is the thickness of his wallet.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie?
And then the things have changed. The nerdy person that nobody liked is very popular these days. So
you ever seen the movie Weird Science?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
No? It's where the two nerds make a woman with their computer. It's a John Hughes movie. Go and watch Weird Science. It's brilliant.
Yeah, but things are changing.
Awesome, you will love too. The part of the movie when they're using a little 1980s home computer, and everything starts going crazy and out of control as their artificial dream woman is being created, and they freak out. So one of the kids takes a baseball bat and starts hitting the monitor and talking about why isn't it stopping? And he's just beating on the monitor. He's not actually doing anything to the computer. And
that sounds weird.
It's called Weird Science. What do you want? It's not just science.
It's very much a 1980s teen movie targeting boys.
It's a John Hughes movie from 1985. It's like
I thought
Breakfast
that's what
Club
I just
or...
said.
Well, yeah. Like Uncle Buck.
Okay, Uncle Buck, that was actually a pretty fun movie.
Yeah, it was a funny film.
Here's a quarter. Go have a rat.
Anthony Michael Hall. It has Bill Paxton. And I don't know how to qualify a film as being good beyond saying it has Bill fucking Paxton in it. That should be enough, shouldn't it?
Game over, man.
That's it. It's got Bill Paxton. Everyone should have seen it.
You know, I can't argue with logic like that. Mm-hmm. Just like I can't argue with the logic that TSO host is awesome. So here's the deal, everyone. It takes a lot of resources to be able to live stream brilliant, intelligent content like this to you every single week. And it takes a lot of resources to be able to host and manage a website and all of the files that we have to store so that you can watch and listen to the recordings of episodes anytime you want. Well, TSO Host is making that possible for us. They're leveraging what they do really well, which is web hosting, domain purchases, and they are giving us the bandwidth we need to live stream every single week. They are giving us the hosting space we need, so there is a place for the website. They are giving us the hosting space we need so that there is a place where the recordings can live, so that you really can watch or listen at your leisure.
This incredibly important content that we're creating.
That's right. Riveting, highbrow content that we bring to you every single week. And without TSO Host's generous support, we would not be able to do that. So we really appreciate what they are doing. And as a way to say thank you to them, we need to go out on social media and tell them thank you for being here supporting the British Tech Network. And they would love to see that. And it's a nice feel good way to give them a little something back for all the support they give us. Now, let's say you need to buy a domain name. Let's say you need to have a place to host your website. Well, we've already established they're really good at this, so use them for that too. Just go to their website, get your domain ready, add it to your cart, add in what you need for web hosting to your cart, then use the discount code BTN20 at checkout, and you'll get a 20% discount on their services, which is wonderfully generous. In addition to giving us what we need to be able to have the British Tech Network, they're giving you a nice discount for being a BTN fan. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And with that, Patrice, do you mind telling people where they can find the chat room? Because we definitely have some links there this week.
Oh, we definitely do. We have a lot of cool links in our chat room. And if you want to participate and talk to us and chat with us and have funny exchanges in our live chat, then you can do that every Thursday from 7 p.m. UK time onwards for the big show. And also every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you're into the Apple side of things. And then you just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. It's that easy, very easy. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact, like in your favorite podcast player of choice, what we just talked about, because it is free and available for everybody. This awesome content is available for everybody to everyone for free in their favorite podcast player. You can still see what was talked about in the chat. You can still see all the links. For sure, you cannot talk to us live. That's not how it works. Unless you invented the time machine, then please let us know. We have some places to go. But if not, then head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And you have to select, there's a little calendar that pops up. And you have to...
I think someone. Rich has a hairball.
Yeah, it sounds so like it, doesn't it?
Sorry. I thought I was muted.
Then you were not.
By the right button.
You didn't hit the mute button.
I muted the wrong damn app. That's what I did. Sorry, everybody. I didn't do that before. Okay. I did it over here, and you can hear everything I'm saying when I mute this. That's, of course, never mind. Sorry.
So britishtechnetwork.com/chat. There's a little calendar that pops up. You put in today's date, today as we're recording this, which is the 16th of March, 2023. Mm-hmm. March 16th, 2023. And then you will see everything that we have talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. And what a trooper. You made it through talking about that even as Rich was hacking his spleen out onto his desk.
Sorry, yeah. Well done.
No, I've been there, well so done. I know how that like it happens.
All right, so that means it's time for cool things. And who is the first one? Oh, that would be Rich.
Yeah, Rich.
Much to my surprise, it is not a hairball removal tool.
But it is okay. Not. I made the mistake of ending up on the damn Black Magic website the other day. And it's just a utopia of, oh, but I want that kind of thing. And it's all very reasonably priced, but still very expensive gear. And the new thing that I stumbled on the other day was the Black Magic Studio Camera 6K Pro. Because I have been looking at my YouTubes of me sitting here at my desk thinking, do you know what? That needs to be in 6K. Oh, and And this studio camera seems to be the way to go. It's absolutely staggering. And what is really getting me about the price of it, shooting in 6K with the big lens, the big viewfinder, all of this tripod mounted, these things are built to be hooked up to, like, you get several of them, capture many of them into a PC at the same time. They've got all the gear for that. And it's less money than a spec-tuck MacBook Air, mm-hmm. right? This thing should be £200,000, but it's not. It's £2,000. And it's...
Seriously? It's just,
yeah.
That's serious money.
It's £2,119 to be exact. There is also, there's the 4K one at £1,589, or the original 4K one at £1,149.
Should mention you do not get the lens for that.
That's absolutely right. You don't get the lens with it. But even then, when you're buying the amount of camera and the quality of camera that you're getting for the money that it is, is absolutely staggering. When I think what we used to go back in the £5,000 that was paid for a Canon XL1 camera, back in the day with its great standard definition footage on mini DV tapes. This is just still staggering to me that this can be picked up for £2,000. If you want to get into some serious streaming or even just content, you know, filmmaking, God, they've got a broadcast camera for £3,500. It's just incredible, this stuff. So if you're looking to up your game on video production, Blackmagic is a good company to have a look around. I'm still after one of their, what are they called, the pocket cinema cameras that look like a DSLR and shoot Bond movies. They're that good, you know. It's just and they're £2,000 as well. They're just staggering things.
And I mean, when I said the lens is not included for that price, the lenses aren't usually, they have EF mounts, so the standard Canon mount. Mm-hmm. They're not, I mean, yeah, you can drop some significant money, but for studio use, probably you won't, because you don't need the 5 mile zoom or something usually.
Yeah, you know, unless you're filming like a football game, if you're shooting someone in a studio, you're spending about a few £100, six at the most, you know. It's
I would even that is probably already stretching it, because you don't need a big zoom, you don't usually don't work in low light, usually have pretty good lighting conditions, stuff like that.
Exactly. So for less than £3,000, you're coming out with a camera that is just breathtakingly good.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of what, 4 or 5 times the price of the camera that you're currently looking at me on, but it's way more than 4 or 5 times the quality of the camera you're looking at me on. Worth a look.
Yeah, I mean, especially with zoom reducing everything down to 720p anyway, so
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blackmagic, they make some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's surprisingly affordable for what it is. Yeah,
it really is. It's all on the Come On Crypto shopping list. You know, it's one day, you'll ask me what the cool thing is, and I'll just have a big grin.
Nice.
So, right, this is the longest part of the show. Here we go. But not today.
Looking forward to it. Okay, Ian, what's your pick?
My pick is a TV show that's been broadcast in the UK, but there's some bits and pieces of it. Have a click on the YouTube link that I've included. It's a show called The Piano. The premise is dead simple. They've been monitoring people playing pianos in public places, in our case, in railway stations. And they've been gathering up the best. And they produced a concert with the five best people they could find. And so there's been a week, and it's been quite heartwarming, quite pleasant to watch, you know, sort of thing of different people, where they, how they came to piano, where they play, why they're playing and stuff. And it's truly quite, it was just one of those really sort of nice, heartwarming bits of TV that you could just sit there, chill out, relax and watch. Presented by Claudia Winkleman from the UK with Lang Lang and Mika as the judge type people, which is really good as well. So there's people that genuinely do know about piano and the playing thereof. But there's, if you don't watch any of this, do watch the video of a lady called Lucy. Lucy's 13-year-old and from Leeds and is blind and suffers from autism as well. So she's not completely, she's not very well. But one thing she can do is play. She, her music teacher puts his hands on the piano keys and plays. She lays her hands over it and feels him play and then plays herself. And she plays with such feeling as it's amazing. But she's completely congenitally blind, but born with her eyes near enough. And it's amazing. Well worth, if you do nothing but watch that, you'll spend your 5 minutes quite wisely. It's beautiful.
Wow. Okay. Claudia
Winkleman's fringe upsets me. It's right in her eyes. How does that not bother her? Like a centimeter shorter or longer would make all the difference. But it's
Claudia Winkleman annoys me generally. It's which is another one of those sort of like vapid women they put on the telly to make to introduce things.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid she annoys me because it's a dumb bother. You know, she's everywhere. That's another one of those people that are everywhere, like Davina McCall was once upon a time and all that sort of thing. It's that same mold of
here's an enthusiastic like, woman.
She's making basically the money while she can.
Yes,
there you go.
Yeah. There you
that's
go.
Just back good to business. Again.
Yeah, she's obviously popular on all channels here in the UK anyway. She's very popular.
She's been around a lot longer than I would have guessed Claudia Winkleman would have managed to.
Yes, indeed.
To be honest.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, your turn. Tell us about your cool thing.
Yeah, my cool thing is a book that I just finished. I have absolutely no idea where I found this. It was on my Audible wishlist, and I bought it with one of my credits. The book is called Mika in Real Life I had it open and then I switched away from Emiko Jean. And it's a story of a relatively young woman, 35, who had a kid when she was, I think, 19, had a baby, and gave her up for adoption. And yeah, since then, life hasn't been great for her. She's kind of been swimming around and like had a job here and there and nothing really stuck. And she got a business degree, but really hated it. And yeah, it's not been great. And then her daughter reaches out to her and wants to meet. And she kind of starts, because she wants her daughter to be like proud of her, she starts inventing things. And as you can imagine, that doesn't go well. And the rest you will have to read. It's a really, really, really good book. It's like, I think it was an Audible, like 8 or 10 hours. So it's not massive, but it's also long enough. And it's a really good story. I think it got nominated for some Best Book of 2022 awards or something. So
highly recommend it. That's probably why it sounds familiar.
Yeah, somewhere, maybe another podcast, someone mentioned it. I don't remember. I found it. It sounded cool. I listened to it and it's great. Really enjoyed it. It definitely made it on the list of my favorite books. So
awesome.
I'm going to keep listening to it again.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, I'll add it to my list. All right, Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. A little bit ago, there was a relatively unknown event in the United States. Well, not it wasn't in the United States this year. It will be next time, but relatively unknown event broadcast in the US called the World Cup.
But there was no one from the world there, was there?
Well, from a US perspective, yes. Because we're weird like that.
Well, the World Cup isn't the only sport with a major competitive international tournament. As we're going on right now, the World Baseball Classic, which is the baseball version of the World Cup, is going on. There's even a team representing Great Britain who actually won a game for
Really?
once.
We
Yeah,
have a baseball
really?
team?
Oh yeah,
I mean, I'm genuinely surprised we have a baseball
yeah.
team.
Oh, they're doing the most British, celebrations you can. There was one where after hitting a home run, the guy was drinking tea.
Good man.
Another one, the guy came up to bat wearing a crown and the king's robes.
Okay.
Top hats, just normal part of their outfits. I'm
But
making that up.
I'm looking at the roster for the team, and there's about one, two, three, four people that allegedly were born in the UK so far. Everyone else is either Bahamian American. Yeah, Bahamian and American mostly. So I'm sorry, no, they're
It's
not.
mostly
It's
people who have
fine.
British
That
ancestry.
you can't be in a
Well,
world
there's at least
championship. It's
four
only you
Brits.
competing in it. It doesn't work like that.
Well, there's at least four Brits in it, so it counts. I
Oh, trust me, if it
mean,
was only
it's like
British
this is
people
a
in it, they
we have the British Technic Rock. There's only two Brits on the show, so that's
Right.
all you
And
need.
you're lucky that I let you on the show.
This just doesn't work like that. Gonna invite the
But
rest of the world in genuinely, or play a sport that everybody else wants to play.
Yeah, it's like the
I
Super
mean,
Bowl where none of the European teams play.
No, because we're all
well,
right. I mean, they're
well,
all
yeah.
rubbish, I think, and we don't like it. And I don't think
Yeah.
it's—it's
Well, Germany
kind of
has a foot like Germany has an American Football League and like
yeah.
everything, and they have
Yeah, Britain
professional
does.
players.
We do here,
Yeah.
but it's nowhere near as popular or as subscribed as
No,
well as any of the other stuff. You know,
hardly.
it's. I mean, there are a fair. I mean, we've got quite a reasonable sort of basketball sort of following as well in the UK, but again, it's never enough to get further than just being a few local teams playing and enjoying themselves. You know, I mean, but that's what it's all about after all. But we don't really get it in the same way. I mean, you could say that about cricket, but at least it's played by
Couple of
everywhere we
countries in
once
the
had,
world.
everywhere we once had an empire. You know, I mean, it's.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
not
from what I
here.
hear from you and the Australians are constantly beating you, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way of it. And then rugby, we do that badly at the minute by the looks of things as well. So I've not been watching that, but I think we messed that up. Because that I always claim American football's rugby with body armor.
It's kind of
No, American
and a
you're
lot of
not wrong
video and a lot of ad breaks.
yeah, it is not
I mean,
rugby with body armor. It is
my rugby league
micromanagement.
with.
It is a corporate boardroom in costumes
No,
out on grass. That's
no,
what
no,
American
no, no.
football is.
It is ad breaks interrupted by like short stints of some sport on grass.
Yeah, of guys running around in their costumes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That
Body
makes
armor,
sense.
yeah. And it looks like a more like a rugby league than it does like rugby union. There's two different versions. That's one where there's lots more running and less scrums and things. It looks a bit like that, but then you've got body armor.
Yeah, because I mean, it did. Gridiron football did evolve from the rugby side of the rugby codes of football.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the World Baseball Classic,
Remember, yeah.
I mean, it is a really great tournament this year. I mean, you have this huge crowds in, Mexico, Tokyo. God, where the hell else is it being played? I mean, we have some real underdogs. Well, not Cuba. Cuba's never an underdog in baseball.
Japan was also a very outside of the US. Japan's another place where it's actually a huge sport, and that's probably are they serious competition for you?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, baseball is huge in everywhere except Europe and in Africa. I mean, it's
almost half the world.
Yeah, because I mean, it's huge in Asia, Oceania, and South and Central America.
Mm.
Where it's the national sport basically here in Canada during the summer. But yeah,
that's because you can't hit a puck with a bat.
See? Yeah.
Well, you can try.
You can try. Yep.
We tried. It ended up with a pitcher of a broken with a broken sternum.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Yep.
But I don't know where to watch it internationally, but here in the U.S., it is unfortunately through Fox Sports. Oh, here it is. Okay, America's UK, Europe. United Kingdom, it is on BT Sport.
Yes, and if you got that, well, I haven't got that service, but yeah, if you subscribe to that service, you get it then. Mm-hmm. It's probably on your box, Rich.
It is on the box. I don't have BT Sport because they don't have any sport I want to see, but yeah.
Yep. For Patrice, it's on MTS.
Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, I've never even heard of that.
It's called More Than Sport. More Than Sports.
Okay.
It's in German and English, mostly there for the U.S. Army and Air Force.
I guess so, yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, then I believe I'm all that's left for cool things.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. my cool thing, I'm quite surprised. I get to pick because I assumed I was going to have to go with my second choice, but I don't have to. It's Ted Lasso season 3. It was supposed to start as we record yesterday, but they surprised everyone and dropped the first episode a day early.
Mm-hmm.
And no, so of course no spoilers because you know me, that's not what I'm going to do. So the setup I will give you is that if you've watched season 2 and you saw how season 2 ended and it did not end on a high note or a happy note, season 3 picks up where season 2 ended emotionally. And and my guess is that before we get to whatever ending we will get, which because it's Ted Lasso and it's the end of the entire series, will be a happier note. Mm. I have a feeling we're going to have an emotional ride getting to that point.
Well, as every Ted Lasso season is kind of thing.
That's true. Yeah, that's a fair statement.
Yeah, they set up a lot of things in the first season, in the first episode.
They definitely did. There's a lot of emotional baggage and potential bombshells ahead mm-hmm. in season 3.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the episode, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing where the rest of the season goes. So there you go. Ted Lasso, season 3, Apple TV Plus. All right. And on that note, we have managed somehow to go from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. And we're all still here. Go us. So first off, thank you to all of you for putting a smile on my face. You all rock. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, right now, not too long after this, you can find me putting my face into corned beef and cabbage.
That's not a euphemism, people.
It could be.
It could be, but I'm guessing in this case it's actually not.
That doesn't sound like a pleasant euphemism.
It is.
That doesn't sound like it'd be for something good. I don't know.
Don't judge.
Sounds like something you would need to rub a cream on. Like I've got a bit of corned beef and cauliflower, you know? Like it's you know.
Oh, well, now you threw the cauliflower in there and you just ruined the whole thing.
Cabbage, wasn't it? Cabbage. My fault. Yeah, cabbage.
So anyhow, Ben.
You can also find me on social media at Ben Raythig. At my interim website, And when I say interim, I mean semi-permanent. Ben or RaythicTech.blogspot.com. And starting tonight, I am now a regular contributor on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Me too.
Yeah. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, tomorrow you can find me watching the next episode of Shrinking, which is a great, great show. I'm really looking forward to that every week. But yeah, other than that, you can find me every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays, on the Mac Show on Fridays, every now and then on other podcasts like In Touch with iOS and so on. Like there's sometimes on Mac Voices if I can manage it. It's like 2 a.m., so a little bit difficult. Everything I'm doing, like just head over to thepatrice.com. You will find all the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, literally everything you will want. And if you want to join Ben and me on our Mastodon instance, like the one that I'm running, if you haven't decided yet, or if you want one that you can trust, head over to techhangout.social.
Awesome. Okay. And Rich, where can people find you?
Well, you'll find me scrolling through this list of games on Steam because a minute ago I got an email from Steam saying the spring sale has started. So that's my wallet screwed. But failing that, you can find links to absolutely everything I do at earlymorningbarking.com, which is YouTube and Twitch and TikTok and God knows what else these days.
All the places.
All the places, Jeff. All of them, except Mastodon, as we've learned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
because there's already too many places. There's too many. I don't need another place. I can't put another link on that link tree. It's too big.
If you change your mind, I need to introduce you to Patrice because she has a Mastodon server that's worth checking out.
You will all be the first people to know about it if I come over. Do you know what else? I've just got my Discord server up and running properly for the first time. So I'm now that's an extra thing that I'm having to deal with. So that's the thing.
There's always another thing.
There's so many things. I don't have this much to say. I really don't. I have to talk on all the things.
Yeah, well.
Sometimes I just want to sit quietly.
Well, I mean, you can do that on a live stream too. Some people might really enjoy that, or just get close to the mic and breathe and start an ASMR channel.
I am this close to starting an ASMR channel. You wouldn't believe the number of people I get on a weekly basis that say, "Rich, when are you doing an ASMR channel?" I'm seriously going to start an ASMR channel.
That's awesome.
Coming just don't soon. Drop the. I think the R is not important in that.
I was thinking of just calling it ASM Rich.
Oh, I like that.
Or doing it in a pirate voice and calling it ASMR.
Oh my God.
You're mad.
People will pay for that.
Oh, yes. On Rich's Only Rich.
I have been waiting for an opportunity to use that pirate joke for so long. I just want to thank you all so much.
I'm so glad we were here for that.
For so long, and it finally got to come out tonight. Thank you so much for that.
Worth it just for that. Yeah. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here every Thursday on The Big Show. If I'm not here, I'll be somewhere else. And if not, I will be. You can usually find me on LinkedIn as Ian Grant. That's usual things for me.
Awesome. Oh, that means it's me. All right.
Yeah, usually.
So Jay Gamut on the various socials, Instagram and Mastodon. That's where I'm really active right now. And then podcasts. Most Tuesdays on the Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. Then here on the Big Show on Thursdays. Most Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg show. And I am very much looking forward to tonight since it's the first time that Ben is on as a regular. So that will be exciting. then on Fridays on The Big Show. And then also, what's his name? Brian Chaffin and I, we do The Context Machine.
I'm going to tell him that you've got his name.
Oh, yeah, do. Absolutely tell him that I had to stop and think about what his name was for the show. Yeah. Anyhow, I know I already said it, but I'm saying it again. All of you are awesome. Thank you for just being amazing people and hanging out with me on the show today. Absolutely love all of you. And everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of this too. I'm so glad that you were here on this amazing roller coaster with us. And then for all of you that watch or listen to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Everyone, be sure and give TSO Host a shout out. Thank them on social media for being here. So thank you, TSO Host. Muller, thanks for making sure that we have people for shows. Also, feel better soon. Ewan, thank you just for being you. And don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show again. Join us tomorrow on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.